Chapter 16, A Very Dirty Bird. Up he went, very quickly at first, then more slowly, then in a little while even more slowly than that, and finally, after many minutes of climbing up the endless stairway, one weary foot was barely able to follow the other. Milo suddenly realized that with all his effort, he was no closer to the top than when he began, and not a great deal further from the bottom. But he struggled on for a while longer until at last, completely exhausted, he collapsed onto one of the steps. "I should have known it," he mumbled, resting his tired legs and filling his lungs with air. "This is just like the line that goes on forever, and I'll never get there."
"You wouldn't like it much anyway," someone replied gently. "Infinity is a dreadfully poor place. They can never manage to make ends meet."
Milo looked up, with his head still resting heavily in his hand. He was becoming quite accustomed to being addressed at the oddest times, in the oddest places, by the oddest people, and this time he was not at all disappointed. Standing next to him on the step was exactly one half of a small child who had been divided neatly from top to bottom. "Pardon me for staring," said Milo, after he had been staring for some time, "but I've never seen half a child before."
"It's 0.58, to be precise," replied the child from the left side of his mouth, which happened to be the only side of his mouth.
"I beg your pardon?" said Milo.
"It's 0.58, he repeated. "It's a little bit more than half."
"Have you always been that way?" asked Milo impatiently, for he felt that that was a needlessly fine distinction.
"My goodness, no," the child assured him. "A few years ago I was just 0.42, and believe me, that was terribly inconvenient."
"What is the rest of your family like?" said Milo, this time a bit more sympathetically.
"Oh, we're just the average family," he said thoughtfully. "Mother, father, and 2.58 children, and, as I explained, I'm the 0.58.
"It must be rather odd being only part of a person," Milo remarked.
"Not at all," said the child. "Every average family has 2.58 children, so I always have someone to play with. Besides, each family also has an average of 1.3 automobiles, and since I'm the only one who can drive 3/10 of a car, I get to use it all the time."
"But averages aren't real," objected Milo. "They're just imaginary."
"That may be so," he agreed, "but they're also very useful at times. For instance, if you didn't have any money at all, but you happened to be with four other people who had $10 apiece, then you'd each have an average of $8. Isn't that right?"
"I guess so," said Milo weakly.
"Well, think how much better off you'd be, just because of averages," he explained convincingly. "And think of the poor farmer when it doesn't rain all year. If there wasn't an average yearly rainfall of 37 inches in this part of the country, all his crops would wither and die."
It all sounded terribly confusing to Milo, for he had always had trouble in school with just this subject.
"There are still other advantages," continued the child. "For instance, if one rat were cornered by 9 cats, then on the average, each cat would be 10% rat, and the rat would be 90% cat. If you happen to be a rat, you can see how much nicer it would make things."
"But that can never be," said Milo, jumping to his feet.
"Don't be too sure," said the child patiently, "for one of the nicest things about mathematics, or anything else you might care to learn, is that many of the things which can never be often are. You see," he went on, "it's very much like you're trying to reach infinity. You know that it's there, but you just don't know where. But just because you can never reach it doesn't mean that it's not worth looking for."
"I hadn't thought of it that way," said Milo, starting down the stairs.
"I think I'll go back now." "A wise decision," the child agreed, "but try again some day. Perhaps you'll get much closer."
And as Milo waved goodbye, he smiled warmly, which he usually did on the average of 47 times a day. "Everyone here knows so much more than I do," thought Milo as he leaped from step to step. "I'll have to do a lot better if I'm going to rescue the princesses." In a few moments, he'd reached the bottom again and burst into the workshop, where Tok and the humbug were eagerly watching the mathematician perform.
"Ah, back already," he cried, greeting him with a friendly wave. "I hope you found what you were looking for."
"I'm afraid not," admitted Milo, and then he added in a very discouraged tone, "Everything in Digitopolis is much too difficult for me."
The mathematician nodded knowingly and stroked his chin several times.
"You'll find," he remarked gently, the only thing you can do easily is be wrong, and that's hardly worth the effort.
Milo tried very hard to understand all the things he'd been told and all the things he'd seen, and as he spoke, one curious thing still bothered him. "Why is it," he said quietly, "that quite often even the things which are correct just don't seem to be right?"